Hey everybody, this is Pastor Travis from AOL Church, and I want to thank you for joining us on our podcast. I pray this inspires you, encourages you, and leads you to your next step to connect with God. Enjoy the message. Amen. Amen. Well, look at your neighbor. Say, neighbor. Oh. Say, neighbor, there's no place I'd rather be when it was 18 degrees. Come on. No place I would rather be. And since it's so warm in here and cuddly in here, I'm just going to go 2 hours. So, no, just kidding. Blessed are the short-winded. Bless the Lord. Y'all ready for session 5 tonight? Listen, I'm ready to give it to you. I'm excited. I stayed up late last night and the night before, so here we go. Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 10, New King James. Finally, my brethren, are you guys sick of this scripture yet? Yeah, me neither. Hey, we're going to have it all memorized before it's over. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in heavenly places. Therefore, everybody say therefore. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God. We're going to learn this next week. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God, so that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all to stand, stand therefore. Having girded your waist with truth, having put on the breastplate of righteousness, and having shod, that's a spiritual term, isn't it, Gabe? Come on, somebody. And having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith with which you will be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one. Verse 17, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, being watchful to this end with all perseverance and supplication for all the saints. We, in week 1, went over spiritual power. Week 2, we went over the 5 words about spiritual warfare. And week 3, this will be our 3rd week of talking about the enemy explained. And if you weren't here last week, I want to encourage you to go back and listen to it. I'm telling you, it's so important that us as a body of Christ, especially as a new believer, or even an old believer, we need to learn how to take off the old clothes. We need to learn how to live a righteous life, how to live a sanctified life, get in the bathtub. Come on, get that garbage of the world off of us and be covered in oil and be ready to fight. Or here in this church, we say oil, all right? Oil and the power of God, all right? So last week, just a recap of that. Number 1, we saw strip off your dirty clothes. So if you weren't here last week, we talk about these men, these fighters that were inside of the palaestra. And the first thing that they did, they would see a roster of the person that they were going to fight. And if they decided to fight them, they made a decision right then and there that they were willing to give up their life. And they were at a place of such confidence that they knew that there was enough fight in them to win. I'm telling you, we've already covered it. The very first week is this. You already got to know this. He's already won. You need to just go ahead and claim the victory in your life. All right? You're already a winner. But one of the things we have to do is when we claim that ticket to fight, we need to know we're going to fight until the death. We're going to fight. We're going to be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. We're not going to give up. We're not going to throw in the towel. And the first thing we need to be as these fighters is, number 1, strip off your old dirty clothes. What does this mean in a believer's life? Through the New Testament, the removal of sin, evil, and wrong attitudes is likened to the removal of old, soiled, and unwanted clothes. This reveals that sin and wrong attitudes should be dealt with just like old clothes. They must be taken off, laid down, pushed to the side, and put away forever. Amen. 1 Peter 2:1, King James, wherefore, laying aside all malice, all guile, hypocrisies, and envies, and all evil speakings. This phrase here, laying aside, is from the Greek word epithemi, and it is the removal of an old set of clothes. So Peter literally, in this text, meant, therefore, remove these attitudes from your life as if they were an old set of unwanted clothes. The next thing, I'm going to go ahead and skip through here. I'm going to go to the second thing we talked about was dip to cleanse. The second thing an athlete did in the undressing room was clean himself in the hot, steamy bath. We need to not only be righteous, we're made righteous. How many of you thankful that God made you righteous? When you accepted Jesus as your Lord and personal Savior, the next step is sanctification. You go right into there. And godliness. But this tells us something very important. After we've committed ourselves as genuine contenders in the fight of faith and stripped off our sin and bad attitudes, we must allow the blood of Jesus and the cleansing water of the Word to remove any residual sin that might still remain in our lives. Thank God for the Word of God. And I hope this week you were intentional to get rid of any sin or any bad attitudes. Hopefully you've turned off constant negative news. CNN or Communist News Network or whatever you want to call it. Hopefully you didn't watch it today. Any of it. Lord have mercy. Here's the third thing. A second dose from head to toe. Once the athlete had been effectively coated with the first layer of oil, he was taken into a second room. In this room, he was given a second, even more lavishing application of oil. The trainer would take a large bottle of oil, turn it upside down, and completely pour it over the athlete until his body was completely covered. Thank God for the Holy Spirit. This was a thick coat of oil that would remain on the athlete's body until the competition was over. In fact, references in early Greek literature tells us that these athletes looked like they had literally been greased. It was almost as if someone took a great crock of cooking oil and rubbed it all over the athlete's body from head to toe. I don't know why. I was thinking like a sumo wrestler dipped in grease just then, all right? Yuck. All right. Every one of us has to make the decision to strip off all our sin and bad attitudes and come into the church, the training ground of the Holy Spirit, and let Him prepare us to fight. What you come here tonight to do? Prepare to fight. Are you ready to fight? Let's fight. So tonight, we're going to reveal names, symbols, and types of the devil in the Bible. Hey, this is good tonight. Y'all ready? Virtually all reputable scholars of the church, past and present, agree that we have an adversary who hates the gospel. How many of y'all know we have an adversary that hates the gospel? I mean, just look across Facebook or Instagram or any kind of thing today. They're doing anything they can do to shut up the gospel of Jesus Christ. Really, anything that is truthful, they're trying to shut it out, right? And he works around the clock to discredit the message of Jesus Christ. The devil's entrance into the life of a believer is allowed primarily through that believer's negligence. He slips in through an uncommitted, unrenewed area of the mind, a loophole, and then begins to wage warfare against the mind and flesh of that individual. Rather than hide from this foe, we must turn our eyes to the Scriptures to see what God has to say about him. There are many names, symbols, and types for the devil throughout the Old and New Testament, each revealing a different facet of the devil's twisted, perverted nature and his mode of operation. How many of y'all know the devil's twisted? He's perverted in everything that he does. And so this is important tonight that you see this. And I put all of these scriptures in here for a reason, because we need to see it in the Word of God. Our enemy is known as Abaddon. Is that how you say that? Abaddon? Abaddon. There we go. It sounded like Aladdin, and it made sense to me. All right? Magic. We're going to address that next week, okay? All right. Revelations 9:11. Abaddon. And they had a king over them, which is the angel of the bottomless pit, whose name is the Hebrew tongue is Abaddon. But in the Greek tongue hath his name Apollyon. The next one is Accuser, Revelations 12:10. And I heard a loud voice saying in heaven, now is come salvation and strength and the kingdom of our God and the power of his Christ. For the accuser of our brethren is cast down, which accused them before our God day and night. Then we have the word adversary. 1 Peter 5:8. This is a scripture we all know. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about, seeking whom he may devour. Then we have the angel of light, 2 Corinthians 11:14. And no marvel, for Satan himself is transformed into an angel of light. Revelations 9:11, again, Apollyon. And they had a king over them, which is the angel of the bottomless pit, whose name is the Hebrew tongue, is Abaddon. Did I say that right? Abaddon. But in the Greek tongue hath his name Apollyon. Beelzebub. Y'all know anybody named Beelzebub? or should they change their name to Beelzebub? Let's go ahead and see. No, just kidding. I like that Friends episode that says, what do you remember as a kid? I remember running from Satan. Oh, the dog's name was Satan. Who was it that said that? All right. Phoebe, Beelzebub, Matthew 10:25. It is enough for the disciple that he be as his master and the servant as his Lord. If they have called the master of the house Beelzebub, how much more shall they call them of his household? Matthew 12:24 says, but when the Pharisees heard it, they said, this fellow doth not cast out devils, but by Beelzebub, the prince of the devils. Belial, is that how you say it? Belial. 2 Corinthians 6:15. I'm keeping myself accountable on my Greek up here. 2 Corinthians 6:15. And what concord hath Christ with Belial, or what part hath he that believeth with an infidel? Devil, Ephesians 6:11. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. 1 Peter 5:8, be sober, be vigilant, because the adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. Revelation 12:9, and the great dragon was cast out, the old serpent, that old serpent called the devil, and Satan, which deceiveth the whole world. He was cast out in the earth, and his angels were cast out with him. Dragon, Revelation 12:9, and the great dragon was cast out. Evil one. Matthew 6:13, and lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Murderer. The devil is a murderer. The best way I like, y'all have heard me preach it before, you take away the D, you got evil. Amen. You take away the E, you got vile. You take away the V, you got ill. Devil make you sick. Take away the I, you got L, and that's where you'll go if you serve him, straight to L. Come on. That was a free one right there. Next one is murderer, John 8:44. Ye are of your father the devil, and the lust of your father ye will do. He was a murderer from the beginning and abode not in the truth, because there is no truth in him. I said that Sunday. How many of y'all know the devil is a lie? You need to know that. The devil is a lie. He comes to steal, to kill, and to destroy. And if there's things that are coming in your mind that do not line up to the word of God, you know that is a lie. And you know where it comes from, the father of lies. For he is a liar and the father of it. There we go. Prince of this world, John 12:31. Now in the judgment of this world, now shall the prince of this world be cast out. Can I get an amen? Amen. Prince of demons, Matthew 9:34. But the Pharisees said, it is by the prince of demons that he drives out demons. Prince of the power of the air, Ephesians 2, verse 2. Wherein in time past ye walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience. Roaring lion. 1 Peter 5:8, you know that scripture. Satan, Luke 10:18, and he said unto them, I beheld Satan as lightning fall from heaven. And serpent, we've seen several of these in Revelation 12:9, and the great dragon was cast out, that old serpent called the devil, and Satan, which deceiveth the whole world, he was cast out in the earth, and his angels were cast out with him. So these are all names, symbols, and types of Satan, and they can be divided into four different categories: Satan's destructive bent, Satan's perverted nature, Satan's desire to control, and Satan, the mind manipulator. Pastor, why are we going over all these? Like I told you 2 weeks ago, there's a reason that you watch film, so you need to see if he's coming in. We need to know how to address it right away. Amen? Satan destructive bent. Of the 17 names, symbols, and types given above, two are devoted to Satan's insatiable desire to destroy. The names of Abaddon and Apollyon are used to describe, Abaddon and Apollyon, are used to describe the devil in Revelation 9:11. The name Abaddon is the Hebrew equivalent of the Greek name Apollyon. Both of these names mean destroyer. In reference to Satan, Revelation 9:11 says, "And they had a king over them, which is the angel of the bottomless pit, whose name in the Hebrew tongue is Abaddon, but in the Greek tongue has his name Apollyon." You can be certain that demon spirits over which Satan rules as a king possess the same destructive nature as their master. They also operate according to the instructions Satan gives them as he sends them forth to destroy. We talked about against principalities, against powers. Y'all pay attention to this. Satan's perverted nature. Of the titles given in the list above that we talked about, five of them have to do with the devil's twisted, perverted nature. Those five are found in the following names, symbols, and types: Beelzebub, Belial, Dragon, Evil One, and Murderer. Beelzebub. The name Beelzebub was initially used by the Philistines of the Old Testament to describe the god of Ekron. It literally meant Lord of the Flies. The devil likes to hang around dead things. Hello. 2 Kings 1, 2 through 6 here. We won't read all of that. But down at the bottom it says, "And they said unto him, there came a man up to meet us," verse 6, "and said unto us, Go, turn again unto the king that sent you, and say unto him, Thus saith the Lord, Is it not because there is not a God in Israel that thou sendest to inquire of Beelzebub, the god of Ekron? Therefore thou shalt not come down from that bed on which thou art gone up, but shalt surely die." Originally it was spelled Baalzebub. Is that correct? As time progressed, the Jews altered Baalzebub to Beelzebub, which added an even dimmer idea to the particular name of the devil. This new name, Beelzebub, now means Lord of the Dunghill or Lord of the Manure. Let's go. Amen. I think Beelzebub's at the feed yard, Rachel. Isn't he? Two powerful and important images of Satan are presented in these two names. First, he is presented as Beelzebub, the Lord of the Flies. This is clearly the picture of Satan masquerading himself as the Lord of demon spirits. Obviously, the Philistines looked upon demon spirits in the same way one would look upon nasty, dirty flies that bite, torment, and irritate. Come on. Secondly, he is presented as Beelzebub, the Lord of the Dunghill. By adding a twist to this particular name of Satan, the Jews revealed a very important characteristic of the devil. Just like nasty, dirty flies, both the devil and his evil spirits are attracted to dunghills or environments where rotting, stinking carnality pervades. I'm going to say that one more time in case you missed it. His evil spirits are attracted to dunghills or environments where rotting, stinking carnality pervades. That's why we got to take off the old clothes, y'all. This is the environment where Satan thrives best. Isn't this good? Belial, the name Belial, which is of Greek origination, means worthless. How many of y'all know the devil's worthless? I'm going to say it again. Do you hear me? You're worthless. This name is always used in connection with filthiness and wickedness. Whenever it is used, either in the Old Testament or the New Testament, it is used to depict extremely evil men. For instance, in 1 Samuel 2 and verse 12 tells us that Eli's sons were sons of Belial. What an example Eli's sons were on this word Belial. They were fornicators and thieves, full of idolatry and rebellion. These terrible traits were ingrained into their character to such an extent that God's judgment came upon them and they were removed from the scene in one day's time. Because 1 Samuel 2:12 calls them the sons of Belial, we know they obtained this horrid behavior from Satan, who is himself the origination of the name Belial. The word dragon is also used in Revelation 12:9 to depict the devil. It says, "And the great dragon was cast out, that old serpent called the devil and Satan, which deceive as the whole which deceives us the whole world. He was cast out into the earth, and his angels were cast out with him." It is clear from this verse that the terms dragon and serpent are used interchangeably in reference to Satan's twisted, demented, and perverted nature. By employing both of these pictures, the Bible presents the devil with a deadly, poisonous, ready to strike and kill nature. Now we go to the evil one. The next biblical example of the devil can be found in what is traditionally called the Lord's Prayer. In Matthew 6:13, the Lord Jesus prayed, "And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil." The Greek language more accurately reads this, "But deliver us from the evil one." From this usage, we know that Jesus looked on the devil as the evil one. No one was more familiar with Satan than Jesus. Hence, it is important to us that Jesus, knowing the devil so well, would label him the evil one. Murderer. Kill, steal, and destroy. It was also the Lord Jesus who told us that Satan is a murderer. In John 8:44, Jesus told the scribes and Pharisees, "Ye are of your brother the devil, and the lust of your father ye will do." He was a murderer from the beginning and abode not in the truth, because there is no truth in him. The murderous nature of Satan was first manifested in Genesis 4:8, when he inspired Cain to slay his brother Abel. Y'all remember the story. It was also Satan's murderous nature that inspired Herod to kill all the babies in Bethlehem. It is also the murderous nature for them to have bills to kill babies that are inside the womb. I added that. It was also we continue to see the devil's murderous nature in the deaths of millions of early Christian martyrs, and still today, wherever murderous injustice prevails on the earth, murder is a part of Satan's demented nature. Satan's desire to control. How many of y'all know he is a control freak? Satan's strong desire to control the spirit realm, the world, and every human government. Can I get an amen on that one? Oh, Lord, don't shout me down when I'm preaching good. And human institution in the world system. Every human government and human institution in this world system is evidenced by the fact that the Bible calls him the prince of this world, the prince of demons, and the prince of the power of the air. Prince of this world. This is interesting. I never studied this before. Prince of this world. By calling Satan the prince of this world, even Jesus recognized his temporal control over certain things in this earthly sphere. Isn't that something? I mean, I'm just thinking about that. You might remember that Satan himself personally offered Jesus the kingdoms of this world. Y'all remember that when he was led into the wilderness? During Jesus' 40 days and nights of testing in the wilderness, Jesus was confronted by the prince of the world. During those 40 days and resisted the devil's power until his adversary, not bled, fled. He might have been bleeding too, I don't know. Jesus spoke from personal experience when he referred to this temporal claim of Satan. Scripture that talks about the God of this age or the God of this world has blinded the eyes of the unbeliever. Prince of demons. In Matthew 9:34, Satan is also called the prince of demons. The word prince is taken from the Greek word archontos. Or is that how you say that? I don't know. Archontos. No, I think it's archontos. Or whatever. Ijole. Right? And refers to the one who holds the first place or holds the highest seat of power. Principalities, powers, rulers over darkness, wickedness in high places. This is in complete agreement with Ephesians 6:12, which states that under Satan's control, there are varying degrees of spiritual wicked power, principalities, powers, rulers over of the darkness of this world, and spiritual wickedness in high places. Satan, the mind manipulator. Is he not? Finally, we come to the last and largest category of the names and symbols and types of Satan in the Bible. In the last category, we discover that Satan truly is the master of mind games. Let's look at the five names, symbols, and types of our enemy that specifically have to do with his ability to twist, deceive, and lie to people's minds. He is called the adversary, roaring lion, angel of light, devil, and Satan. Adversary. The name adversary is extremely important. Extremely important as we attempt to understand the devil's mode of operation. It is taken from the Greek word antidikos, which is a compound of the Greek word anti and dikos. The word anti simply means against. We've studied this out. However, in the older and more classical Greek language, it was used to denote the mental condition of a man or a woman who was on the edge of insanity. This, in fact, was a terribly dangerous person who would do someone great harm if he or she was not restrained. Therefore, the word anti is quite a nasty word. The second part of the word adversary is taken from the Greek word dikos, and dikos is the root of the Greek word meaning righteous. It refers to justice, rightness, fairness, and righteousness. When the two words are compounded together, they portray one who is adamantly opposed to righteousness. Isn't that the truth? Because the word anti carries the idea of hostility, this tells us that the devil is one who is hostile toward righteousness or one who desires to destroy righteousness and obliterate it. This means the devil is not just passively opposed to the presence of righteousness or righteous people. He is actively pursuing them and doing all within his power to wipe them out. He hates righteousness. Doesn't he? Isn't that something? When you begin to live that righteous life, how that ugly head of the adversary begins to peek his head out. In one way or another, Satan mentally tries to devour us with present temptations or with past memories. Amen? So true. He does all of this in order to assault our sense of righteousness. His ultimate goal is that we would eventually be left high and dry with no confidence before God, devil, or man. This is precisely why Peter said, "Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour." I said in the second week of Battle Born, the enemy, 40 days, he was consistent to come out to the battlefield. You need to know that your adversary, he's consistent. But we've got to learn to pursue things. I met with some men the other night. We went over the scripture in 1 Timothy chapter 6. He says, flee from these things, but pursue these things. We talked about as men, we like to hunt. And it's amazing all the things that we will do as hunters. You'll put doe urine on you. You'll get up early in the morning. You'll sit out there in the cold. You'll do all of these things for the great hunt. You need to know that there's an adversary out there trying to hunt you, and you need to do everything you can to pursue the things of God. Just like you do pursuing that big buck or that, you know, that big hunt, we need to be men of God or women of God. He says in that scripture to the young pastor there, he said, man of God, pursue righteousness. You need to know that he's after your righteousness. The enemy's after your righteousness, but he says, pursue it. I'm telling you, when you pursue righteousness, he will meet with you. Amen? Roaring lion. This leads us to the next title of Satan. He is not a lion. Can I just put that out there? He is like a roaring lion. There's only one lion, and it's the Lion of the Tribe of Judah. And he's coming back as the Lion of the Tribe of Judah. Peter says he is likened unto a roaring lion. What fear the mighty roar of a lion strikes in the heart of a frail man. However, in the case of the devil, his roar is more fearsome than his bite. Let's say that again. And Kate, his roar is more fearsome than his bite. Colossians 2:15 victoriously declares, put this in here for a reason. Having spoiled principalities and powers, he, Jesus, made a show of them openly, triumphing over them in it. Woo! That's so good. By means of the cross and the resurrection, Jesus Christ stripped these demonic power bearers of the authority they once possessed. Jesus' victory over them was so thorough that he even made a show of them openly. However, this has not stopped the devil from trying to sound dreadful through his continuous hasslings of our thoughts, his insinuations about failure, his concoctions of unrealistic fears in our souls, and his constant onslaught against our minds. Satan tries to beat us down into defeat. This constant roaring in our souls is just another attempt of the adversary to wear us down, wear us out, and then swallow us up in self-pity. Notice that the object of the adversary is to seek those whom he may devour. The word seek implies that not everyone will fall prey to these tactics. It's like the scripture in 1 Timothy chapter 4. It said some will fall away from the faith. I'm not going to be the some. Amen? Satan is not seeking just anyone to devour. He is seeking those whom he may devour. The door has to be opened. In other words, the enemy is looking for those who are weak in faith, ignorant of the Word of God, isolated unto themselves, and not mature enough to stand in the face of his constant hassling allegations. Do y'all believe that? These are the individuals this roaring lion is seeking after, and his object is to devour them. The word devour comes from the Greek word katapino, and literally means to swallow them up completely. Have you ever seen somebody that's just been swallowed up in the things of this world? Angel of light. Satan is also called an angel of light. In dealing with the problem of false prophets, false teachers, false apostles, and deceivers. I'm actually talking about this in the morning. Who were trying to worm their way into the Corinthian church. Paul says in 2 Corinthians 11:14, and no marvel, for Satan himself is transformed into an angel of light. This is another clear picture of this mastermind manipulator. Satan disguises himself to be something that he really is not. Again, this kind of attack normally comes against a person's mind. The portrayal of Satan is an angel of light. is a vivid example of his deceptive power to twist people's thinking. How many times can we twist something to think, well, I'm doing this for a reason? Now, how many times that's deception that happens inside of your mind? You're believing that lie of how you can justify it to make it right for your personal benefit. That's an angel of light. Is it making some sense tonight? The devil. Oh, I've already told you about the devil. You take the D away. Don't make me slick my hair back here. Of course, Satan is called the devil. In fact, the New Testament refers to him as such more than 40 times. The name devil is taken from the Greek word diablos. Dia means through and carries with it the idea of penetration. We've went over this, but this is good to go over again. The word balos is taken from the word balo, which means I throw, as in throwing a ball or a rock. When the two words are compounded, the new word depicts the act of repeatedly throwing a ball or rock against something until it penetrates the barrier and breaks through to the other side. Therefore, in the name devil, we are not only given the proper name of this arch enemy, but also his mode of operation. His name means that he is one who continuously strikes and strikes and strikes again, beating against the walls of people's minds over and over again until finally he breaks through and penetrates their thought process. I was talking to somebody the other night. I think it was David. He said, I pictured a snake that just poked and poked and poked and poked and poked. It's like a dripping faucet. There comes a time you just can't take it anymore. But that's, how many of y'all know that's how the devil works? He just keeps on and keeps on and keeps on. Satan, this enemy of both God and man, is called Satan, which is taken from the Hebrew word shatana and means to hate and to accuse. It is used more than 50 times in the Old Testament, the New Testament, Old and New Testament, and it also carries with it the idea of slander and false accusation. He's a slanderer, and he will accuse you falsely. Now, let's talk about a prerequisite to spiritual warfare. This is found in Ephesians chapter 4. It was because of this archenemy that Paul wrote, all the guys that we talked about, that Paul wrote to the Ephesian church and urged them to put on the whole armor of God. However, keep in mind that what Paul told the Ephesian believers to do before he ever told them to put on the whole armor of God. This is so good. Paul urged them, put away lying. I want to go read this in Washington. Put away lying. Ephesians 4:25. Wherefore, putting away lying, speak every man truth with his neighbor, for we are members of one another. Speak truth with your neighbor. Same thing. Speak every man truth with his neighbor. Be angry and sin not. Don't let the sun go down on your wrath. These are prerequisites to spiritual warfare. I'm trying to help you guys out here. It says in Ephesians 4:26, be ye angry and sin not. Let not the sun go down on your wrath. Give no place to the devil. Ephesians 4:27. Let him who stole steal no more. Confucius didn't say that. Jesus did. Ephesians 4:28. Let him that stole steal no more, but rather let him labor, working with his hands the thing which is good, that he may have to give to him that needeth. Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth. Oh, man. I'm going to read that one just one more time. Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth. Ephesians 4:29, let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearers. Grieve not the Holy Spirit, Ephesians 4:30, and grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby ye are sealed until the day of redemption. Next one, let all bitterness, wrath, anger, clamor, evil speaking, and malice be put away from you. Ephesians 4:31, let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you, with all malice. We must not forget that a consecrated life is a prerequisite to a real spiritual warfare, a consecrated life. If these areas of our lives are left unattended, uncommitted, and unsurrendered, we have left gaping loopholes through which Satan is able to continue to exert his hellish schemes in our lives. Screaming, yelling, screeching, and stomping and shouting at the devil will not accomplish one single thing if we have deliberately or simply by negligence allowed the lines of our minds to go unchecked or ungirded. Our lack of commitment and the secret places of our lives that have never been fully surrendered will stop us dead in our tracks whenever we try to deal with the devil's attacks. Isn't that the truth? On the other hand, when we choose to live holy and surrendered lives carefully, guarding our minds and equipping ourselves with the whole armor of God, we become awesome weapons in the hands of an almighty God. Amen? Amen. He is under our feet. I don't care how you want to call him. The devil, the angel of light, the roaring lion, the adversary, the prince of this world, the prince of the demons, prince of the power of the air, the murderer, the evil one, the dragon, the Belial, the Beelzebub. Come on. Everything. I got other names coming to me right now. Yep, by the spirit and by the flesh. He is under our feet. And I'm telling you, there's a reason that he has these things in here that we need to be sober, be vigilant. We need to be sober and we need to be vigilant. And these are all things that we need to do. Ephesians chapter 4, these are all things that we can be intentional to do to get ready to fight the good fight of faith. Next week, we are actually, I put there, let's talk about weapons, but actually next week, we are going to talk about how to resist the devil. How to resist the devil, and then we'll go into some weapons. Wherefore, we're going to see why it says, wherefore, put on the complete armor of God so that you'll be able to resist and stand your ground in the evil day. Those are all things we'll be talking about next week. You ready for it? Amen. Well, do we not have a chance? If you guys want to give tonight, I'm going to give you the opportunity to give. We'll pray over the offering right now. And pray that the Lord keep his angels charge over you as you drive home tonight. And also, too, tomorrow, this is my testimony. You got to sing, too. Come on up here. Tomorrow night, we're going to be going to Snack Pack for Kids at 5 o'clock. So we'll meet there from 5 to 6:30. If you'd like to register and go, we'd love to have your help. You can do that on the app or on the website. On the app. Sorry, I'm looking at Jennifer. She's keeping me accountable back there. All right.
Well, I've been wanting to share this testimony for a while. A lot of y'all know my grandson, Waylon, about yay tall, getting taller by the day. When he was born, he had some breathing issues, and within a month of his birth, he was put in the ICU at the NICU because he was having RSV. And while he was in there, actually, they had to resuscitate him because his lungs failed, his heart stopped, all of this, and they had to bring him back to life, put him on life support. He was in the hospital for about, I want to say about 2 months, and he came home for about a week and ended up back in the ICU, in the PD ICU. They discovered that he had what's called Wolf-Parkinson's-White heart disorder, which meant his heart beat at double the normal rate. And so his little heart was doing 200-300 beats a minute instead of the normal 100. He had to take medicine. We had to check his heart rate. They said, you know, he's going to be like this. We'll probably have to do surgery. When he becomes a teenager, it could come back, this type of stuff. We had him in at the cardiologist every year. Not last year, but in 2019, his mother took him to a cardiologist in the Dallas area for a checkup because he hadn't had one in a while. Cardiologist here said he was doing fine, he was doing okay, he didn't need to come back, and he didn't have to take medicine anymore. He was doing good, but he needed to be checked when it came time for puberty. She took him to the cardiologist in Dallas, and the cardiologist in Dallas did all these tests on him, and he looked at him. Now, let me just back up a minute. When he was 3 months old, he went into the care of my friend Jessica Harmon, who brought him here to this church. This is before I became a member of this church. She brought him here to this church as a three-month-old baby, and the leadership prayed for him. Pastor Browndy prayed for him. Pastor Luann, Pastor Ty, Pastor Travis, the leadership all prayed for him. And the prayer team was praying for him. And he had lots of prayer going forth, and I was praying for him. And I just kept telling him he's not going to be like this the rest of his life. So when his mother called me in the fall of 2019 to tell me what the cardiologist had to say, I was like, praise Jesus, that's an answer to prayer. Because the cardiologist in Dallas said, if you hadn't told me and I hadn't seen it on his records, I'd never know he ever had a heart condition at all. He has a perfect heart.
Amen. That's right. Well, I think it's a very, we looked at the names of the evil one tonight, but the ones you need to memorize is the name of Jehovah. Jehovah Rapha, the God who heals. You need to see all the good names of God, because I'm telling you, they cancel out every assignment that the devil has brought. Amen? He's the healer. He's Jehovah Rapha. He's the God who heals. He's the great physician. Amen? Thank you for that. Well, let's pray tonight. Lord, we thank you for this time together. Lord, we thank you for the testimony that came forth, Lord, of how your hand, you never leave us and you never forsake us. And Lord, I just thank you, God, tonight that you're here with us. Lord, I pray over this offering, Lord. I pray that you supply all their needs according to your riches and glory by Christ Jesus. Thank you that you are Jehovah Jireh. You're the God who provides. And so, Lord, tonight we call upon you, and I pray, Lord, that you bless these, Lord, that give into the offering tonight. I pray a hundredfold return back into their life. Lord, as they're obedient and as they're doing what you've called them to do, Lord, I pray that you would just begin to rebuke the devourer for their sake. In Jesus' mighty name, we thank you for it. Lord, keep your angels charge over your people as they go home tonight. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you for joining us today. You can stay connected with us through our website, arenaoflifechurch.org, or follow us on Instagram or Facebook. God bless you and keep you.